podcast one day. So it's a good thing that there is a fellow radio personality here with me right now to carry this dreck of a podcast. He is the legend, the rock legend in Toledo. I just call him Grizz.
That's fine.
Just Grizz?
Yeah, and you know what? The listeners are the rock legends, not me.
Yeah, but you've been giving him rock music for how many years now? 22 years. You know the voice, the laugh from our sister station, 94.5 XKR?
Yes.
What's the correct way to say it?
94.5 XKR.
Thanks for taking a couple of minutes from your show.
Well, I'm glad you asked me to come down and talk a little bit.
I wanted to do this because, one, you're a rock legend. You're a radio legend here in Toledo. But more than anything, one, I think you're a nice guy.
Well, thank you, Eric.
I don't like to hang out with dickheads, and neither do you, right?
No, nope, absolutely not.
We find the good vibes and we hang with those people. Yeah. I'm a football fan. I have been for my entire life. I'm not as emotional as I used to be. You've been a Browns fan your whole life, right?
Yep, since I've been 6 years old when I watched Leroy Kelly take over for Jim Brown. When I was six, I was watching the Browns. And that's 53 years ago.
You are the most cheerful, positive, optimistic Browns fan, maybe football fan, I've ever met. And especially with the Browns losing for so many years, to have that kind of attitude is incredible.
Those days are over. Those days are history. They're locked in amber right now. I mean, that's it.
Is this your first podcast, or have you done other ones?
Actually, I've been a guest on a haunted podcast.
Okay.
And Toledo Paranormal podcast. That's, you know, but never one of the sports podcasts.
That's not sports. This is a little bit of everything.
Oh, okay. Well, you know.
A little bit of everything.
I've never talked about the Browns on podcasts, though.
Well, here we are. So, Leroy Kelly, that name kind of rings a bell. What year was that?
Hall of Famer Leroy Kelly took over for Jim Brown. I believe that was 1965.
Okay.
Jim Brown he played 6 years for the Browns and retired and went into the movies.
So you were too young to see Jim Brown play, right?
I remember him playing.
Okay.
And I remember Leroy Kelly is how you pronounce
it. Okay.
And I remember Leroy Kelly being back there, and then the following year, it was Leroy Kelly. It was just like he didn't miss a beat. He wasn't as good as Jim, but, you know, he was still a hardcore running back.
Tell me about when you were a kid, like 6 years old, watching these games. Who did you watch them with? What got you into it? What was, like, your routine when you were a kid?
Well, my routine was when I was a kid. I used to watch the Browns because they were on every Sunday.
Yep.
And
1 o'clock, right?
1 o'clock. And I used to just sit in front of the TV, and I dreamed about being a football player. I wanted to play for the Browns someday. And, you know, I played peewee ball, junior high ball, high school ball. And then my senior year, I screwed up. I was skipping physics class, and I had to go get my diploma in summer school, and I lost a scholarship to Ball State University.
Look at that.
Because at that time, you know, Maryland and Ball State was shooting out the defensive linemen.
And they wanted you to come, both of those schools were targeting you?
Well, I chose Ball State.
Look,
I went down and stood on the sidelines and did some things with them.
Awesome.
And then, you know, the coach called me and he says, Grizzly, he goes, you know, you can come down and play football, no problem. He goes, well, we can't get you a scholarship because what happened? You shouldn't have screwed up.
Right. Physics is tough.
Yeah. But when I went to college 20 years after high school, I got an A in physics.
Look at that. So what happened since they didn't offer the scholarship? What did you do after high school?
Well, I played some semi-pro football. And that wasn't going anywhere. Then I decided to get married and, you know, with a family. You know, I had my son, and with a family, I just I couldn't do it.
No, I get it. Because
you didn't get paid. I mean, there was insurance, you know, to pay for your injuries and stuff. But, I mean, you didn't get a wage to play.
Right. I remember when I left high school, I was a starter for my high school baseball team. Mm-hmm. I wasn't great, but I was a solid starter. And my dad had set up a tryout for me when I went away to Towson University in Maryland. But I skipped it because I kind of got like the radio bug. And I wasn't going to go much farther. Maybe I would have, you know, rode the bench. And that, you know, we've had that radio bug. You do it once and you never want to leave it. So yeah. I know what it's like when you kind of give up on that childhood dream, but you found an adult dream. You've loved doing this your whole life, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been doing it for 22 years. I almost got killed when I worked on the lake freighters, the ships. And I wanted to be a captain by this time in my life of one of the 1,000-foot Great Lake freighters, you know, that sail the lakes. And I was in a horrible accident on the J. Burton Airs. I went to school to be an arson investigator and a fire inspector because I knew that trade with my eyes closed. And so I did need my associate's degree to get in the radio at that time. So college was not a waste of time at all.
Right. Where did you go?
I went to Owens Community.
Okay. How many people in all your years of radio here knew that you had an opportunity to play football at Ball State?
A few.
A few? But not many, right?
Because it's embarrassing.
No, it's not embarrassing at all. No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. But I wanted you to take this opportunity because, as we know, when we do our shows on the radio, we don't have the freedom to talk all this time.
Right.
So if there's anything like that, please do share. So in the 70s and maybe the 80s, like, catch me up on the Browns history, because my Browns knowledge starts with, I guess, Kozar in the mid-80s. So what happened in the 70s?
We had Brian Sight back in the day. We had Bill Nelson back in the day. And we had some receivers back in the day. And we got ripped off by the Denver Broncos. And I'm going to tell you why.
Is this the 80s?
We're going back to, the early 80s, because John Elway, who's a boob, a piece of garbage, he cried because there was too much noise at this end of the field. You know what they did? They moved Elway and the Broncos back to the other side of the field. And it's like, what the hell's going on? I've never seen that happen before. Never seen it happen since. And the Broncos beat us. And that's what took us out.
Yep.
And then the catch, when Ernest Biner dropped the football, the defender tackled the football, did his job. It wasn't Ernest Biner's fault.
Angry Browns fans coming out.
I don't care how tight you got that football. If I'm coming right at you forward, I'm going to knock that. I'm going to give you a forearm and knock that football out of your. I'm going to knock it out of your arms. I guarantee you 100%.
Let me go back a little bit into the 70s, because my football knowledge, I remember seeing videos. The Steelers and the Cowboys dominated that decade. How were the Browns in the 70s?
The Browns in the 70s, I would say they're a little mediocre. They come up in the early 70s, and towards the end of the 70s, they were in the playoffs a lot.
And then the 80s stuff happened with Elway and the Broncos.
And we got ripped off. We really, I'm not just saying that as an angry fan, but we got ripped off a lot. We got ripped off tremendously. And you know what? We still get ripped off. The referees hate us.
Well, if you're not Tom Brady, they don't like you, right?
Yeah, Tom Brady with the is his wife part giraffe? Have you ever seen that neck? It's like she's 17 inches long.
She's a tall model. They're like 5'11".
Yeah, but Tom Brady's he's another boob.
So in the mid-80s, things began to slide backwards a little bit after those losses that you talked about. They had Bernie Kosar, who was a big star at Miami, right? Hotshot, he was originally from Ohio somewhere?
Yeah, he's from Boardman, Ohio.
Okay, came back and was like all the Browns. Tell me about like the mid to late 80s Cleveland Browns.
Okay, the mid to late 80s, they seemed to always make it to the AFC Championship game or into the late playoffs. And it just like the Elway thing, moving them back to the other end of the field, which never happened before.
Right.
That's one. And then Ernest Biner doing his job. It wasn't his fault. That's two. And then a third time was he made a pass to Webster Slaughter. It was in the end zone. Both feet come down in the end zone. And the stinking old fart referee's probably dead now, or he'd be 180 years old, called it out of bounds, and they replayed it and replayed it. This is before instant replay.
Right.
It was in bounds. We got ripped off.
Robbed
so there's
again.
Three times we got ripped off from going to the Super Bowl.
And that like set off this depression of Browns era, which ultimately led to them leaving.
Yes, and Art Modell stealing from us. Stealing from us.
Took him to Baltimore in the middle of the night, kind of.
Yep.
And then for a while, there were no Browns. And then the Browns were resurrected in 1999. And they took Tim Couch first overall in the draft right before the Eagles took Donovan McNabb.
Right.
So how did you feel when they left? Because they had been a bad team leading up to that.
How did I feel? I was at the last football game in Cleveland. And I'll tell you what, they were tipping cars over. They were busting lights off the police cars. And we were sitting there in our van right next to a paper machine. Well, they knocked the paper machine over and set it on fire. And they started walking towards our van. And we said, whoa, wait a minute. What are you going to do here?
We're Browns fans.
We're fans too, man. Yeah. Get out of here. And there was fires. They set garbage on fire. And then when, Bill Butchek, when he come out, they had like 15 cops around them. And people were shaking their beers and hitting Butchek with that. And then when he went to get in his car, people started throwing rocks at his car and everything.
If Belichick had been what he is now back then, do you think the Browns, I don't know the history, would they have stayed in Cleveland? Or was that a done deal for them to go to Baltimore?
I think it was a setup. Art Modell told Butchek, you know, don't win any games. Win as little as possible because I'm taking off. And then when the Baltimore Buzzards won the Super Bowl, remember when Art Modell was grabbing for the rail because he thought he was, man, I said, fall, you son of a bitch. I mean, I was waiting for him to go through that floor and fall, and I was ready to cheer. That would have been the greatest thing that happened in the last 6 years of football.
I should have asked this question earlier, but I'll ask now. Where we live here, and I don't know, where did you grow up?
I grew up right at South and Broadway.
Okay. Where we live, it's kind of split between Detroit and Cleveland fans and then like a smattering of everybody. There's always Cowboys fans everywhere.
Right.
Why did you pick the Browns and not the Lions? Is it just who your family rooted for or who your friends liked? I know a lot of people pick against their family
and
friends.
Well, because of Jim Brown and Leroy Kelly.
The Lions stunk back then, right?
Huh?
The Lions stunk back then, right?
Yeah.
They've always stunk, right?
Well, I'll tell you, what would be cool if the Browns and the Lions went to the Super Bowl this year. But I don't see the Lions getting in there yet. But Matthew Stafford's a great quarterback. It's not his fault. But yeah, I just like the players and the personality. I watched Lou Groza play in his later days, and Doug Deacon was a phenomenal offensive player. Phenomenal left tackle.
So it makes sense. Jim Brown was the best player, maybe one of the best players ever in football, so you become a Browns fan.
Right, and I also got to talk to Jim Brown for 45 minutes, one-on-one, and my buddy Andre Davis, who was a linebacker for the Browns. And I emailed Andre. I says, hey, can you get me like a little sit down with Jim Brown for a little bit? No radio, no machines, no nothing. So he goes, yeah. He goes, I'll get you a half hour. Well, that turned into 45 minutes talking to Jim Brown, just me and him.
About what?
My hero.
About what?
About everything. Football and some of the things he does with the youth of America, Los Angeles and Cleveland, and, you know, trying to keep kids out of trouble and, you know, get them out of the gangs and all that. He does quite a bit.
Was it one of the three or four highlights of your entire life?
What's that?
Jim Brown?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yes.
I don't really have too many idols except for kind of like normal basketball players for whatever reasons resonate with me. I would love to have 30 minutes with Charles Barkley. I appreciate his candor, but not football players. My favorite one growing up, I don't know if I'd want to sit down with him now, but remember Randall Cunningham?
Yes.
Loved watching him play. I got to, when I was growing up, it was late 80s, early 90s, and it was Randall Cunningham and that impenetrable defense with Reggie White and Clyde Simmons and Seth Joyner. And the 1 year that defense was number one in rushing, passing, and total defense.
Right.
Was the year that Randall's knee blew up, or else who knows what would have happened. When the Browns came back in 99, or it was announced they were getting the new Browns, how did you feel?
I was happy. I'm going to support the Cleveland Browns, whether we go 0-60 or 60-0. Because that's my team. And I get frustrated, I get mad, but that's my team. I'm not a bandwagon jumper. And, you know, I respect the Pittsburgh Steelers. I really do. And when the Steelers are in the playoffs, I cheer for them because they're from our division.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the Iron Curtain. That was the baddest-ish defense around. Mean Joe Green, Ernie Holmes, Dwight White, and Elsie Greenwood. They had Jack Lambert, Chris Hamm, and Andy Russell at linebackers. They had Mel Blount, and they had, I forget the other three guys, but they had the defense that we have this year. In fact, the Browns defense that we have, even the second teamers, remind me of the Iron Curtain.
We'll see. We'll see. They've got a long way to go from 1-31 the last 2 years.
And what's the best offense?
A good defense.
There you go. I coached baseball for 20 years at the middle school level, you know, 14 and 15-year-olds in the high school level. And the best defense, the best offense is a great defense. I used to tell my team, get a 1-0 lead and protect.
Mm-hmm.
Protect. Anything above one run would be a bonus. So that's what we did.
With the second iteration of the Browns, this Browns team from 1999 on, who is your favorite player? Who's your favorite offensive player since they've come back?
My favorite offensive player since they come back between now and then?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by far, it has to be Josh Gordon.
Yeah, it's a shame he can't stay on the field.
Yeah,
but it seems like he's cleaning his life up.
Yeah, he seems like he's cleaning up and everything, and he's serious about getting on that field and helping the Browns go to the Super Bowl.
I hope this doesn't sound too over the top, but from just looking at him physically, and he's got to do it over the whole season and stick. But he's almost like a combination of Randy Moss and Terrell Owens.
Yeah, yeah.
Long, but big and strong and fast. And I hope he can stay healthy. Who is your favorite defensive player since they've come back?
Oh, by far it would have to be... let's see. That's a pretty hard question.
They haven't had a lot of great play.
My defensive player would have to be...
Phil Dawson was a good kicker.
Andre Davis.
There you go. He was a linebacker in the 2000s.
And we had a receiver called Andre Davis, yep. But I liked Andre Davis. Wally Lanier wasn't bad. And we had the big Samoan guy on the defensive line, not the one we got now, but I can't think of his name, the guy that was on there before. But, yeah, that's who I would say be my best player.
How did you feel when they drafted Johnny Manziel?
Well, when I seen Johnny Manziel rub his hands together, I knew, you know, do that
the
garbage of rub. Yeah, it was like we're in trouble, and it happened, and we were in trouble.
You don't like that flashy kind of player?
No.
Okay.
No.
Things now, how do you think they'll turn out with Baker Mayfield, who has some similarities to Johnny Manziel, but not as over the top?
Well, I'll tell you what, Tyrod Taylor.
You said it right, too.
Yes.
Tyrod, not Tyrod.
Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield is probably the best quarterback tandem in the NFL. I wouldn't want to hit Mayfield full head on, man, because the kid's big and everybody talked about how bad he was and all that. He's been nothing but great. A team leader, unselfish, and he's going to get some yardage on his happy feet because Tyrod is happy feet. If they can't pass the ball, Mayfield's going to run people over, and Tyrod's going to out-juke people.
For a long time, they were uninteresting. They were as bland as their helmets.
Right.
And when they got Manziel, they were interesting, but not for the right reasons. It was like, how is he going to go sideways? Now to me, and maybe it was just a Hard Knocks thing, which I didn't watch much of, but I followed it on Twitter and whatnot. They have some interesting pieces. Like the Mayfield and Taylor. We'll see what Josh Gordon can do. Jarvis Landry caught 100 balls last couple of seasons.
Yep.
And you're right. The defense could be fearsome. Myles Garrett, it's not a stretch to say he could be the best defensive player in the NFL.
Right.
And they've got some other players.
And you know something else? Nobody was hurt during the preseason this year.
Knock on wood, right?
Knock on wood. I mean, no, because I think there should be 2 preseason games. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're not ready by then,
right?
You know,
and it's not like when we were growing up watching football, where guys didn't do much in the offseason. We see these offseason workout videos, and they're arguably training harder in March than they are when they get in a training camp and during the week.
Yep.
So 1-15 2 years ago, 0-16 last year. Hugh Jackson's still the head coach. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I agree with it because Hugh Jackson asked for 3 years, and this is year number three.
I think they'll be improved. How many games do you think they'll win? And don't worry, I won't hold you to it.
Okay, now, at first, I said 5-7. And you know, when I started seeing guys come, I said 5-11.
Okay.
Now I say the Browns have a chance. They have a chance to go 9-7 and compete with Pittsburgh for the AFC North. And, you know, looking at the schedule, the Browns have got a pretty hard schedule, and they play harder against the big teams than they do the little dinkers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Browns could possibly go 11-5 even.
I'd say that's a stretch. 9-7, I think it could happen. It's kind of like last year with Jacksonville. They played in a weak division. Granted, you know, Deshaun Watson went down. Yeah. Andrew Luck was hurt. So it was a weaker division. I don't think the AFC North is that strong. But Jacksonville kept accumulating defensive talent, and it finally paid off. Cleveland hasn't done it as long, but in a short period of time, they have collected talent, at least on the defensive side. And if Tyrod Taylor doesn't turn the ball over, maybe they mimic what Jacksonville did last year and get to the playoffs.
Well, Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson,
the backs.
We've got a hell of a running back core and wide receiver core.
Landry, Gordon, who else am I missing?
Landry, Gordon.
I like Njuko at tight end. Yep.
Gordon, he'll be back. And, oh, it's the kid's name. They kept him from last year. He played really good. He played special team, too. And he's a hard hitter.
Because now
they got the new rule with the defensive backs.
Don't touch anybody.
Yeah. And so we got tough. You know, now the cornerbacks are being threatened to be blasted, you know. Mm-hmm. It's turned around.
Yep.
But, you know, it's just we've got so many good players, man. It's just unbelievable.
There's a lot of talent. I like the backs. I like Duke Johnson. Maybe one of the best pass-catching backs in the league.
Oh, yeah.
Carlos Hyde, who can run a little bit, from Ohio State, over from the 49ers. And they drafted, it's Nick Chubb, right?
From Georgia.
Who is a nice running? It's a nice back. There's talent. They're not bereft of talent anymore. So it's just interesting to see how many wins they can bring this. They can put this talent together with.
Yeah,
I'm happy for you because, like I said, amid your yelling, you're still a very optimistic and supportive Browns fan. Like, I know Browns fans who they're angry at themselves for still following the team. Similar to like Lions fans, they're angry at themselves for still spending their Sunday afternoons at 1 o'clock for a team that has never given them what other fan bases have been fortunate enough to have, and that's winning seasons. So good for you.
Yeah, I'll always be a Brown fan. I'll sink with the ship. And, you know, here's another thing. When the Browns left, we followed the Green Bay Packers when they were 4-12.
Okay.
Okay, and we had our Cleveland Browns stuff. We watched the Packers games. You know, we had the Packer wristbands. We had a few Packer things, but we put all our Brown stuff up. We used to go over to my buddy Bob's house and set it up like a stadium. And we followed the Packers, and, you know, we had our Brown stuff on, and then it was announced the Browns were coming back. And then we just, you know, we said, well, the Packers, they did a good job for us and everything, and we rode with you. Now we're going back to the Browns.
What made you pick the Packers then? It's just what was on TV?
Well, at the time, they were sort of like the worst team, and we didn't know anybody call us a bandwagon jumper. So we just
they had Favre then, though, right?
But yeah, but they were pretty rough when so we went with the Pack.
Because I'm trying to think, Favre and the Patriots in what, like 95 or 96 in that Super Bowl.
Yeah,
maybe a little bit after that they were bad. I don't remember, but yeah, and plus the Packers were probably always on TV here, right? And you didn't want to pick the Lions.
No, we didn't want to go with the Lions. We wanted to go with the Packers.
Before we wrap up, I'm going to do a game with you, a fun game that it'll take us back to our brief conversation on Saturday or Sunday. But give me one thing that you might not have ever shared on one of your shows, but like a little known fact, like I didn't know that you could have gone to play at Ball State. That's an awesome Division I talent right there. So give me something else.
Okay, I was a independent professional wrestler.
Okay.
Okay, and Rhino from the WWE, him and I were tag team partners, and I managed them in single matches. And when I retired from wrestling, the last match was, you know, Rhino and I in a cage match. Crimson was in them, and Benjamin Big Bear Boone, who's a friend of mine and a friend of the family's, him and I feuded outside. So I did that, and I went to college to be a fire investigator and arson investigator, and I used to work on the lake freighters, and I've done just about everything. You know, I've done a lot of things in my life.
How many people have told you to write a book?
A lot of people.
When are you going to do it?
A lot of people.
You've got the stories to tell.
Yeah, but I had a dark time in my life back when I was like 20 years old, when I was about ready to give up football and that. I started doing some bad things, you know, getting stoned and getting drunk and everything. And I went to Compass, and, you know, I got my life straightened around, because that was a really dark time for me.
A lot of us have those times.
I mean, a real dark time for me, you know, and I'd never forget it, because I never want to be there again.
Yeah.
You know, and when I used to do our baseball banquets, I used to tell the kids about the guy that skipped school, lost a scholarship, ended up dwelling in drugs and drinking and fighting in the bars, you know, fighting behind the old brewery, not getting in trouble with the law per se. And then everybody said, well, who was it? It was me I'm talking about. So don't try to give me any kind of bull crap, because I wrote it. And that's, you know, I got myself cleaned up there, you know, and that was a really dark time. And so it was, you know, I went that route too, you know. So I've been to the darkness, I've been to the light, I've been in hell, and I've been in heaven. So I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere.
And you got a voice too.
Yeah, radio wasn't even anything I wanted to do. Sean Bellegian and Scott Sloan did a show, and then when I was going to college, I listened to the show, and I asked, I wrote a letter to him. Can I come in like for one segment? So I went in there, and Sean Bellegian put headphones on me. And I sat in there the whole show. And I used to call in with the Browns every week, you know.
Right.
And even in the summertime. So I had the headphones on. And, Sean, this is for Grizzly. And they asked me questions and stuff. So when the thing was over, Sean says, Grizz, do you ever think about working at radio? I says, no, not really. I'm going to be a fire investigator or arson investigator and an inspector. Oh, dude, you got pipes. Put your resume in. I'll get you in here.
Now look.
So here I am 22 years later.
Anybody that's listened to any rock music in the last two decades in Toledo, you're synonymous with them.
Yeah, and my radio show's totally different than anyone else's. Everybody tells me what I do in radio. Everything that's wrong about radio, I do.
Good. Good. That's what makes us good at what we do.
And I get away with it because it's you know, I barely touch the edge of the envelope.
Right.
But I don't go over, so the FCC is knocking on my door, because I'll get fined, not only the station, but I get fined too if something happens. But I make sure, you know, that I talk about anything. I talk about Mr. Dinky, and I talk about how I have an out-of-order sign on my underwear. And let's see, now that I'm old, you know, it's just, I actually forgot. I had to remember what the missionary, missionary man meant, you know, but, you know, that's not important anymore. I mean, you know, at my age, I've done it all, seen it all. You know, I just been married 37 years. I got a son that's going to be 43 Friday. And I've got I got a granddaughter. It's 24. She's going to have a great granddaughter 4-8.
Life is good. All you need now is a 7-win season from the Browns.
Oh, yeah. And I got a 21-year-old grandson and a 4-year-old granddaughter. And then I'll have another great grandson by proxy when my grandson's getting married and living in Nashville.
Do you remember what cartoon we were talking about on Sunday, I think?
By the powers of Grayskull, He-Man, one of my favorite.
So I loved watching He-Man when I was a kid, and I remember when it came on Netflix, and it was awful to see how bad the animation was. Things like Transformers and G.I. Joe seemed to have lasted a little bit better than He-Man, but I wanted to play a game with you. I'll give you a character, and you tell me whether they were part of He-Man or not.
Okay.
Okay? The other characters, if they are not a He-Man character, maybe they're likely on another 80s cartoon. So
okay.
These should all be somewhat familiar. First one, Stinkor.
Stinkor.
He-Man character or not?
No, it was Skeletor.
Stinkor was a He-Man character.
He was.
He was a a skunk-looking guy.
Oh, yeah. He was a later villain. Okay, yes,
all
yes.
Right, next up. Fisto, He-Man character or not?
No.
He was a He-Man character. He had a metal fist.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Yes.
All right. Next up, Mum-Ra.
Mum-Ra. I don't remember Mum-Ra in He-Man.
No. He was the villain from Thundercats.
Yeah.
Remember it? Did you watch that?
Very little.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Okay. Next up, Gargamel, He-Man character or not?
Gargamel. I don't think so.
He was the villain in Smurfs.
Yeah.
Okay, you're catching up. You're doing well now. Next up, Too Bad. Too Bad. He-Man character or not?
Too Bad. No.
He was a He-Man villain. He was kind of like Two-Face of Batman, two different people.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember that. He was like, yeah.
Next up, Matt Tracker.
Matt Tracker. No, I don't know. He wasn't.
Not a He-Man.
No.
Do you remember the show Mask?
Not.
Okay. Wasn't super popular. Next up. Hamato Yoshi.
That was from an anime, wasn't it?
Kind of. So it's not He-Man, right?
No.
Hamato Yoshi, also known as Master Splinter from the Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah. See, I didn't get into Ninja Turtles too much.
All right, I'll give you a couple more. Trap Jaw.
Oh, Trap Jaw. I believe that was a He-Man.
Yeah.
A
green face, purple helmet.
Yep, purple helmet. Yes. Yes, he was.
These things are really, when I look these up, they're really scary looking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A couple more. Hordak.
Hordak.
He-Man character or not?
Yes.
Yes. Apparently he was, he didn't like Skeletor or He-Man, and he wound up being the villain for She-Ra.
Yeah.
Okay. Last one. Merman. Like mermaid, merman.
Oh. I don't believe that was a He-Man character.
He was. He was an amphibian-looking dude with gills jetting out.
Oh, yeah. And the things, yeah.
Creepy-looking things.
Yep.
Yeah. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, no problem, Eric. I enjoyed myself.
I know. I actually know a lot more now about Grizz. So you're 3-8 on XKR, right?
Yeah, 3-8 Monday through Fridays, and that's the Room of Doom. And then on Saturdays, I do the Saturday Classic Rock Cruise from 2-7, where we step out of the Room of Doom onto the steamship Kratos. You know, since I used to work on the steamships, I got me an old wooden steamship I broadcast from as I'm sailing it through the Sea of Rock.
Last question. I guess I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you. Your favorite band ever?
My favorite band ever. I've got a tie.
I'll take a tie.
A 50. The Doors.
Okay.
So I got Jim Morrison right here.
Okay.
And Pink Floyd.
Okay.
They're my number one.
Okay. Favorite newer band, newer rock band?
No, the Doors are way classic.
Oh, I know.
Pink Floyd was ahead of their time.
I mean, like somebody like in the 90s or 2000, like Green Day.
Oh, like right now?
Linkin Park. It doesn't seem like there is any right now. So 90s, 2000s, anybody like that? Soundgarden.
I like Joe Walsh.
Okay.
And I like Green Day.
Okay.
Billy Idol.
Okay.
So those are in Van Halen, of course.
Okay. Well, thanks for doing this.
Some of my favorites. And, oh, Judas Priest.
Okay. Thanks for doing this. We'll do it again.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
I will hope for a Browns controversy or a quarterback change or something or a head coach firing something, and we'll do it again, all right?
Okay, whether we win or lose, I'll still be here back in the Browns.
There we go.
This has been a Cumulus Media and Q105 collaboration. Three unicorns were harmed and lost their rainbows and horns in the production process. We use cookies for various purposes, like eating and flavor for protein shakes. And you have agreed to this and all other secret policies by enjoying the preceding audio content, which we highly encourage you to hashtag subscribe and share. You can click here for all other legal crap. And now hit skip intro to go to the next podcast. Just kidding. It's the See More Episodes option in your app. Q105.